During this unusual and challenging time, do you find yourself reaching out for anchor principles to hold on to?
In the midst of everyday circumstances, do you wonder if there are guiding practices upon which to build your life?
How important would these guiding principles be in your life?
How significant would these guiding practices be in the ministry of our church?
What biblical values anchor our everyday discipleship and strengthen the ministry of our church? Core values, stewardship.
Our scripture today comes from Malachi 3:10. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, hello, Christ Church and all of our friends joining us today. If you're on the website, we'd love to hear from you. Send us a prayer request, a praise report. If you're with us on Facebook, say hello to other friends in the chat. We're glad you're here. If you want to follow along with my outline, you can always do that on the website or the Christ Church app. How are you doing today? How is it with your soul? I know that sometimes when I come to worship, I'm distracted or discouraged or sometimes even depressed. We can all find ourselves in those places. My prayer, my conviction is because you are investing time to worship God today, to focus your heart and your mind on the things of God, you will come away blessed and better equipped in heart, mind, and soul than when you first came on. O Lord, hear our prayers and strengthen our hearts today. Amen. Amen. Today I'm continuing my series, Core Values. We've said that as we journey with Jesus, there are core values that anchor our everyday discipleship and strengthen the ministry of our church. So far, we've talked about salvation, Scripture, the Holy Spirit, and prayer. As we let God build these core values into our lives, we are best equipped to live out our faith in victory. Today, I want to talk about another core value at the heart of our Christian discipleship, stewardship. Stewardship. Stewardship in the chat. Jesus consistently taught about the call to a life of stewardship, using our time, our talents, our treasure as gifts from God to glorify Him and to build up the kingdom. He doesn't want us to bury the gifts that He's given us, but He calls us to use our time, our talent, our treasure. It's part of loving God and loving our neighbor. Ultimately, God calls us to give up our lordship to make Him the Lord, the master, the coach of our lives. And yet the enemy of our souls would say, that's a terrible idea, to give up control, independence, and the fun of your life for what? Nothing. But that is a lie. The truth is, with Christ leading us, coaching us, we find freedom. We find our unique identity. We find purpose, direction, and real adventure. The question is, are we willing to listen to the advice of our heavenly coach, or will we decide to go it alone? It's great to be part of the body of Christ because we can share our stories. Hey, this was my experience when I was going it alone, and this has been my experience since I made Christ the Lord, the Master, the coach of my life. Yes, going it alone and making bad decisions can get us into real trouble. stories told of a woman, Miss Crumpton, who was called to serve for jury duty. She asked to be excused because she didn't believe in capital punishment and didn't want her personal thoughts to prevent the trial from running its proper course. But the public defender liked her thoughtfulness and her quiet calmness, and he tried to convince her that she was appropriate to serve on the jury. "Madam," he explained, "this is not a murder trial. It's a simple civil lawsuit. A wife is bringing this case against her husband because he gambled away the $12,000 he had promised to use to remodel the kitchen for her birthday." "Well, okay," agreed Mrs. Crumpton. "I'll serve. I could be wrong about this capital punishment thing." Our bad decisions can get us into trouble. We all need help with good decisions. I do believe Christ has a lot to teach us about good decisions. And today, I want to focus on stewardship, particularly how we spend, how we steward our money. And of course, there are some common objections whenever we talk about this subject. Some would say, "I don't have any extra money. I spend my money, and when it's all gone, there's nothing left for God." Have you ever been there? When the plan is to give God whatever we have left, it's easy to come up short. Some might say, "Hey, I give at the office. There are lots of good causes today. We all have opportunities to buy cookies, candies from school children, from scouts. There's also United Way, Red Cross, Salvation Army, Restore Hope. Lots of good opportunities out there that represent Kingdom of God work, helping people in need. It's easy to say, "I give at the office. I'm all tapped out." Still others might say, "All the church wants is money anyway. There's an offering every Sunday, or they encourage me to give online. And why do we have to have an annual stewardship campaign anyway? All they want is money." And still others might say, "My income sources are down now. I can't give." And of course, that's true for many today. Many have been impacted by the effects of this pandemic. It's reasonable to think during hard times, we can't afford to give. So, what do we believe? How should we respond in difficulty in everyday life? How should we practice our stewardship even in the midst of uncertainty? I want to lift up four principles from the scriptures today, four things that help us to practice faithful stewardship with our time, talents, and particularly today I want to talk about money. First of all, I'd say this: all things ultimately belong to God. If we're going to be biblical Christians, then we're called to a very radical perspective. All things ultimately belong to God. Now, that's not what we naturally think. From the time we're little children, we learn a special word and remember it all our days. It's the word mine. Hello? It's mine. And yet the biblical worldview is very different. Psalm 24, 1 and 2 says this: "The earth is the what? The Lord's, and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. For he founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters." That's very different than mine. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. So, if I'm not the owner, then what am I? We are stewards of God's good gifts. Write "stewards" in the chat. We're not the owners. We're the stewards, those to whom the good gifts have been entrusted. Thus, we're responsible to take care of, to value, to protect those gifts. It also means we have responsibility not to misuse, to harm, or to squander those good gifts. Circumstances at times make it hard. A police car pulled up in front of Grandma's house and Grandpa got out. The policeman explained, this elderly gentleman said he was lost in the park, couldn't find his way home. What? Says Grandma. You've been going to that park for over 30 years. How could you get lost? Leaning over so the policeman couldn't hear, Grandpa whispered, I wasn't lost. I was just too darn tired to walk home. Well, I guess that's wise stewardship. 1 Peter 4:10, the apostle says, as each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. We are stewards of God's good gifts. That's true in our personal lives, our families. It's true in churches and communities. It's also true of football teams. My senior year in high school, that glorious season that I've been reliving of late, we learned a thing or two about stewardship as well. Remember the year before we were 0-9, didn't win a game. That was terrible. But by the end of our senior year, we were 7-1 and headed to the playoffs. That was a great experience for our team. It was a great experience for the whole community. We weren't the only ones having the times of our lives. The whole community was caught up in the excitement. You'd walk around town with a Panther Pride t-shirt or a jersey on, and people went out of their way to say, way to go, Feist! You guys are great! Let's go all the way! Signing autographs, kissing babies, it really got pretty heady. Well, I mean, that part was probably only in my dreams, but we did enjoy special favor in the whole community. We had a great responsibility to the team, but also a great responsibility in the community. This thing was bigger than any one of us, bigger than our team. It was impacting the whole community. We had to think about that, both on and off the field. It's the same thing in the kingdom of God. We're all on the team, and things are bigger than any one of us. In fact, we are impacting whole communities, even the whole world, through our simple acts of stewardship. We've got to be mindful of that. We want to be good stewards of the good gifts God has given us. A third principle, God's challenge is generous giving with the tithe being the goal. Post tithe in the chat. God's very practical. God's very intentional. God says, I want to help replace your mine mentality. Instead, I want to encourage a steward mentality. Therefore, I'm going to challenge you to practice generous giving. In fact, I'm going to give you a target, a goal. The tithe. The word tithe means 10%. It's about keeping 90% but giving 10%. God says, that's what I want you to do. Is it going to be easy? No. It's going to be a real challenge, especially in a world where everybody thinks it's mine. But it's also going to be a great journey of faith. Listen to what God says to His people in Malachi 3:10. Bring the whole, what? Tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. In both the Old Testament and the New Testament, the challenge is generous giving. And God says, test me in this and see what happens. It's one of the most tangible expressions of faith that we can make. I'm a steward. God and I are partners. I'm stepping out in faith and I'm going to return to God 10% of my income. And then I'm going to trust God to take care of all of my needs. I'm even going to expect a floodgate of blessings. Now, does that not sound like an exciting adventure? Well, here's what I've discovered. It is. Early in our marriage, Kathy and I started tithing, taking 10% of our income and giving it to the Lord. Now, back then, when we were newly married, we had a dual income. And that 10% seemed like a lot of money to be giving to God. We were just starting out. There were all kinds of things we could have purchased with that money. But we were trusting God. And then a few years later, kids came and Kathy stayed home and there was just one income. And again, there were all kinds of things that money could have purchased, but we were partnering with God. We'd give God our 10% and He would take care of all our needs. So here we are 36 years later into the experiment now. And what do we have to show for it? Well, God has provided, so far, all that we've needed, and then some. Our kids are grown, our blessings have truly been many, and we have the ongoing satisfaction that with God's partnership, our giving has made a significant difference in the world. For us, it's been a win-win all the way through. Which leads to our last principle. God blesses us as we practice faithful generosity. Write generosity in the chat. This is the great center of our faith. God not only promises us eternity, God promises to bless us in this life as we reflect His heart to the rest of the world. Jesus said in Luke 6:38, "Give, and it will be given to you." A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and runneth over, will be poured into your lap. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you. God blesses us as we practice faithful generosity. When you ask people who practice faithful generosity, who've committed to tithing their income, you find there is a great smile in their hearts and in their lives. So if we believe that all things ultimately belong to God, and that we are stewards of God's good gifts, that God's challenge is generous giving, the tithe being the goal, and that God blesses us as we practice faithful generosity, then what should we do? How should we respond? Real quick, I'd lift up these three things. First of all, give thankfully. Generous giving starts with thankfulness. When we take the time to reflect on the many blessings that God has given us, when we recognize all the things that we enjoy because of God's goodness and grace, generosity just wells up in our hearts. It starts with thankfulness. God says it well through the psalmist in Psalm 50:23. The sacrifice that honors me is a what? A thankful heart. Yet some people have more difficulty with it than others. A teacher quizzed a girl in her math class, "If you had a quarter and asked your older brother for another $1.50, how much money would you have?" The girl answered, "A quarter." The teacher said, "Young lady, you don't know your math." The student said, "Teacher, you don't know my brother." God wants us to learn to give thankfully. A second thing, give cheerfully. As we consider God's blessings, as we remember the ways He's been faithful to see us through the ups and downs, the highs and lows, the mountains, the valleys, when we see His faithfulness, God's handiwork in our lives, as we smile, as we celebrate His goodness, we also express gratitude with generous giving. Paul encouraged the believers in 2 Corinthians 9:7, "Let each one do just as he has proposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a what? A cheerful giver." God is pleased when we give out of a sense of joy and gratitude, not grudgingly or out of a sense of duty or obligation. We give cheerfully. Third, give faithfully. You know, we're each running our own race. Each of us have our own circumstances, our own talents and gifts, our own vocations and levels of income. Some may be hurting during these troubled times, perhaps drastically. Still others may find their income is relatively unchanged. Perhaps some others are doing better than they ever have. The key for all of us, no matter what our circumstances, is faithfulness. We're all called to respond to God's grace in our life in proportion to what He has given us. If we've been given much, the Scripture says much is required. You know, here in America, compared with so much of the rest of the world, we've all been given much. As we finish this year and head into next year, I pray that you would consider stretching your faith in giving. Our income has been down through this pandemic. And as we make our plans for 2022, we're going to need everyone's help with an over and above outpouring of generosity to fund everything we hope to do. Peter encourages us in 1 Peter 4:10, each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. Next Sunday, October 24th, we're going to have a day of celebration and commitment. We're going to celebrate the blessings of God we've received through our faith in Jesus Christ. Isn't it amazing what God has done for us through His Son Jesus? As we celebrate in worship, in response to God's marvelous grace and mercy in our lives, we're also going to have the opportunity to turn in our Stewardship 2022 Estimate of Giving cards through the mail, online, or in worship. It's going to be a great time of celebration and faith and commitment. I want to ask you to begin praying right now about that day. Sincerely ask God's direction for your life. Ask God, Lord, what do you want me to do? Remember this, as we give generously, God will provide all we need. We need everyone's participation now. We'll need everyone's help in the new year, and God will provide all we need. We can count on that. I pray you step out in bold faith with God in your giving. Amen? Amen. Let's pray together. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, Almighty God, gracious and merciful Lord, we know that You call us to be good stewards of all that You've given us. Ultimately, all things belong to You, and we're just stewards of the blessings You provide. We are truly thankful for the good gifts You provide each day. Health, life, friends, family, income, a community of faith. Lord, we know You challenge us to practice thankful giving, cheerful giving, faithful giving, with the tithe being the goal. Wow, what a practical, tangible opportunity to express our thanksgiving and gratitude. Oh Lord, stretch our faith and help us to respond with bold acts of stewardship and generosity. In Jesus' name we've prayed, and everyone said, Amen. Amen. I hope the message spoke to you today. Remember, God's challenge to us is generous giving, with the tithe being the goal. If you'd like to visit more about the message or how you can experience new life with God through faith in Jesus Christ, please contact me. If you've joined us today and have prayer requests or praise reports, send them to us. We want to hear from you. You can use the app. You can go to the website. And yes, our giving is one of the most tangible ways to thank God for His goodness. Again, thank you for your generosity. as you text to give, as you use the app, as you go to the website, mail in your contributions, your giving is making a huge difference. Be sure to take advantage of our discipleship opportunities. Find all the information you need on our website, cumctulsa.com. Remember this, we are simply stewards of God's good gifts. For now, how is God calling you to step out boldly in faith, in generosity?
Yesterday, I threw a ball for my dog.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it's a little extravagant, I know, but it was his birthday and he looks great in a tuxedo.
Join us for a shoebox packing party. You'll have the unique opportunity to hear from our guest speaker, Dania, a young woman who received an OCC shoebox gift as a child. Thursday, October 28th at 6:30 p.m. There's an OCC tree in the People Place with various shoebox items to donate towards the packing party. Please select an item, purchase, and return to the church by Sunday, October 24th. Contact Sue Hayes or Phil Blodevogel with any questions.
The United Methodist Women are pleased to hold a bake sale on Sunday, October 24th. Delicious homemade baked goods and desserts will be available for sale in the People Place. Enjoy them now or freeze them for the holidays. Pecan sales begin November 11th. Are you curious about the UMW and its missions? Our next meeting is December 9th. Contact Lisa in the church office for details.
Many guests attend our services every week, either online or in person, and we're thrilled to welcome them. Some may have questions about our church, its beliefs and history, membership, and we want to help. Our quarterly Discover CUMC event will be held on October 17th at 2 p.m. You can learn more about our church and its ministries or even join the church during the meeting. Contact the church office for more information.
You can find all this information and more on our newly updated website, cumctulsa.com.
Hi, I'm David Wolf, chair of the finance board. I'm here to shoot a video for the stewardship campaign.
That's great. You might want to fix your tie, though.
I mean, that's not even tight enough. Just
wow, that's tight. But not as tight as next year's expense budget. My friends, the staff and finance board here at Christ Church take our stewardship responsibility very seriously. On the expense side of the budget, we want to be the best stewards of the financial gifts you so generously give us. With that in mind, for next year's proposed budget, we've reduced expenses without laying off any staff and without having a negative impact on our children, youth, mission, and worship programs. We did that by deciding not to fill any open positions and eliminating expenses of programs and events we were not able and are not able to have due to the pandemic. On the income side of the budget, our donations are down this year for various reasons. Please help us get an accurate estimate of next year's income budget by returning your estimate of giving card during our stewardship campaign. May God bless and keep you during this most difficult season.
Hi, we're Wayne and Sue. It's time for Samaritan's Purse, Operation Christmas Child Shoebox.
On Thursday, October 28th, at 6:30 p.m., the church is having a packing party in the gym. The ornaments on the tree outside the sanctuary are for you to select items to donate for the party. There are three baskets for you to drop those items in. We will pack boxes, make notes, and do some artwork for those shoeboxes. There will be something for everyone to do. Please plan on coming. It will be a good time for all.
We hope you will still make your shoebox at home or with your Sunday school. Please include $9 postage for each individual shoebox you make. The party is to increase our number of boxes and to meet some church family we may not know.
For those who do not wish to participate in filling a box or come to the party, but still want to donate, you can make a donation of money toward postage of the party boxes and for additional supplies that are not donated. Please make your checks out to CUMC, place shoebox in the memo, and drop in the offering plate.